Hi, my name is Bill Gebhardt with the City of Ames. The Ames City Council has made a commitment to valuing environmental sustainability. There are many City of Ames programs that support this goal. Some of them may not be things you're aware of, so we're using this opportunity as a part of Earth Day appreciation to highlight various department projects, programs, and services. My guest is Joshua Thompson, who serves as the superintendent of the parks and facilities with the Ames Parks and Recreation. One of the responsibilities of the Parks and Recreation Department is maintenance of more than 1,000 acres of parks and green space. Part of that process is establishing and nurturing natural prairie around the community. Joshua, tell us a little bit about your job, your background, and job responsibilities.
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on. This is fun, and I always enjoy get to, the opportunity to kind of tell about what we do in Parks and Recreation in regards to our practices and how we try to maintain our parks in a sustainable and environmentally friendly way. So like you said, I'm the Parks and Facilities Superintendent with Parks and Recreation. I've been in this role since 2014. Graduated from Iowa State with a degree in horticulture with an emphasis in turf grass management. So I was on track to, you know, be a golf course superintendent, work in the golf course industry. Had other aspirations to work in the park system, work out outside the golf course in all the parks. So whether it was help maintain the aquatic center, trimming trees. After the golf course manager role with the city, I got promoted to a parks and facilities supervisor and then this role in 2013. So lots of things I get the opportunity to do. I manage projects. Currently we're managing a project of reconstruction or a construction of Homewood Golf Course. Last fall we completed construction of a couple restrooms. So it makes the job fun.
One of the things that I mentioned earlier already is that we are establishing and nurturing prairies. Do we have a lot of prairies currently in our park system?
Yeah, you know, we do. We're managing probably over 300 acres of prairie. You know, some of those prairies have been in place for quite some time. A lot of people are most familiar with our largest area of prairie is at Ada Hayden Heritage Park, probably over 200 acres of prairie there. There's also some wetlands there. Then also we have Moore Memorial Park, which just has over 10 acres of prairie there. East River Valley Park is where we do a lot of cross country skiing in the wintertime. And then there's also just, you know, hiking trails over there. So we have another 10 acres of prairie there. And then another portion on Christopherson Park, which is on the south side of Ames. So yeah, we do manage a lot of prairie and we are continuing to add more. You know, a few years ago, we added about 50 acres of prairie on the north and west portions of Ada Hayden Heritage Park. And we're going to add another close to an acre of prairie in Brookside Park. We're taking a turf area that is south of the baseball field, south of the parking lot there, the big, large baseball field, and adding an acre of prairie there. So yeah, we do have a lot of prairie in the park system.
Why are we establishing more prairies?
You know, it's multifold. There's lots of great advantages of establishing prairie. You know, specifically the area at Ada Hayden, you know, the area that we transferred to prairie or converted to prairie had been used as hay ground for many, many years. And the species that was up there was a monoculture. It was non-native. And there was, in the original plans of the park, the whole goal was to transfer the area back to native prairie. And what I mean by native prairie, we're inputting or seeding prairie species that are native to Iowa in the mid and the Midwest. Sometimes it's hard to get all native seed that's from Iowa. So we try to procure that seed that's, you know, generally in Iowa and what makes sense and what's native to Iowa. Sometimes we have to go out of state to get that. But going back to the benefits, you know, stormwater protection, you know, prevents soil loss, prevents erosion. It offers wildlife habitat. There's so many different characteristics of prairie that is very, very good for the environment. It also helps rebuild the soil structure over time. It invites pollinator species. One of the things that's kind of under attack right now is our pollinators. You know, everybody's aware of the monarch butterfly and the decrease in populations there. So a lot of prairies have a lot of monarch specific, you know, inviting plants in there. But there's so many other pollinators that I don't even necessarily know about that we are helping benefit by establishing these prairies.
Do prairies require a lot of maintenance? Doing prairie burns, what's the purpose of a prairie burn? What kind of maintenance do they require?
basically, when you take an area like we did at Ada Hayden and convert it from a hayed ground to a prairie, that does require some maintenance. You know, we had to apply the herbicide to kill the species that was already there. We had to apply that a couple times, and that still didn't take care of all of it. Another thing that we have to deal with is invasive species, non-native species that encroach upon that land. So we have to control that. If you have invasive species or non-native species in an area, it competes against your native prairie. Getting a prairie established can be very, very difficult. And so there's many practices that take place to get a prairie established. But once it's established, it helps reduce the amount of maintenance. They are not maintenance-free. There are still maintenance that needs to take place. And one of the maintenance practices that you mentioned was prairie burning. And prairie burning is an excellent tool. It's a very cheap tool, and if it's done properly, it's very, very safe. What it does is it helps remove a lot of the dead vegetative matter that's near the soil that can actually inhibit prairie growth. So apply fire to the ground every few years. You don't do it every year, but every few years you go in there and light a fire, and it basically kind of helps you have a clean slate so those native species can have continued area to grow and to be successful. Now, the thing is, you have to be careful with when you're doing a prairie burn or after you do a prairie burn is make sure that you're managing those invasive species, because just because you have a nice clean slate for those prairie plants to grow, it also offers a clean slate for invasive vegetation to come in. So you have to monitor that very closely and continue to monitor that as the prairie continues to develop.
You started to touch on this earlier. What are the advantages of prairie over traditional turf?
Traditional turf that you would see typically in your home lawn or urban lawn landscape, if managed properly, it has a lot of the same benefits of prairie. But the thing is, with cool season turf like you'd see in your front yard, is the root structure is not as long. What they say is whatever you have growing above soil, say it's a 3-inch leaf blade, you're going to have about that same type of root structure down below. The thing is with native prairie is the root systems of those are very, very extensive, and they go way longer, way deeper than what you typically have above the ground. So if you have a foot tall prairie plant, you may have a prairie root that goes down 3 to 4 feet, which helps stabilize the soil. And they don't require, I wouldn't say that they don't require fertilizer. They don't require a ton of chemicals. You don't go out and spray a prairie on a couple time a year basis. You know, you're gonna do that potentially in an urban lawn. It doesn't require mowing, so we don't have to go out there and mow it. You can apply prairie species to highly erodible land or a erodible slope that is going to help stabilize that slope, and you're not going to have to deal with it anymore. You're not going to worry about erosion. So, but I just want to caution people, you know, prairie is very tough can be very difficult to establish, and it's not perfect for every, if individuals are looking to do that in their home lawn. If you're thinking, well, I got this backyard and I'd love to plant prairie, well, there's a few factors you need to look into. How much sun does it get? The species that I want to put in there, do they like shade? Is it okay with that? And there are some shade loving native plants that would be good for the landscape. So I encourage individuals to do their research, seek out the experts in regards to that. If they're considering transferring a native or a cool season turf lawn to a prairie lawn.
A prairie is possible around my house, like a small one just in my area, taking into account the things that you mentioned.
Yeah, you know, I think, like I said, in certain areas of people's yards, that's a great application to do that. And it also invites, like I said earlier, other pollinators. It can, depending on the species of prairie, it invites pollinator species, you know, potentially some hummingbirds, and there's just a lot of different things that can really bring attractiveness to your home yard.
Was there anything else you'd like to share with us about managing prairies and public green space?
But we're continuing to evaluate those areas, every area of the park system, to all in all look at how we're managing to improve the environment, help the environment. Just want to make sure that we're doing the best, using the best practices for that. So,
well, Joshua, thank you for your time today. Once again, that was Joshua Thompson, who is the Superintendent of Parks and Facilities with the Ames Parks and Recreation, talking to us about prairies, green spaces, and other things in the park. Happy Earth Day.